Let's talk.
John Brown. Time of the week. Excuse me, my voice is cracking with the emotion because we're going to get it live to our man in Barcelona, Tim Parfitt. Morning to you, Tim.
Good morning. Cracking with the emotion. These introductions get...
Yes.
I'm saying these introductions get better and better.
Well, just you wait as we get to the run-up for Christmas or Halloween. Don't worry about that. how are you doing, my friend?
I'm very well. How are you?
Yes, not too bad. Managing to, I don't know how it is for you, for yourselves up there on the northeast corner of Spain, but I've never known a season as busy as this. And all these talks about, you know, Spain, you know, no to tourism and all this sort of thing. It really does throws a sharp focus. Took me an hour and a half to do a journey that would normally take me 35 minutes yesterday, which obviously I didn't know I knew so many old Anglo-Saxon words, or indeed Andalus swear words, but I do now.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same up here, but I mean, on a political front, on the news front, I think things will start to die down a little bit from the 31st of July, you know, I mean, so that it becomes the time of the year when we call it silly news, you know, where the newspapers are trying to find anything because they can't pick up on the politician.
Here's the thing, Tim.
All out.
Here's the thing, if I may, because I'm there based down in Marbella, as you know, and obviously we have the Madrileños come down en masse because Aznar has actually got a place, literally. I mean, if I had a particularly light stone, I could probably hit his place from here, and that would upset the Guardia Civil, but anyway, I move on quickly. But we get an influx of Madrileños, and you can spot them a mile off in the supermarkets because they have a certain style of dress, and they seem to have Camelo's twins, who always like to dress the same way. But anyway, you're laughing because it's true. Do you have the same? Yes. I mean, I know you don't get Madrileños that many in Barcelona because you're luckily blessed to be on the sea as well. Is there an influx? Do you see people? I don't know from Tarragona or from other areas come up to your part of the world? And you can
Yeah, well, actually, I think we get a lot of French tourists,
right?
Because it's easy for them, you know, to just drive down from the south of France. Yeah, I mean, but I think Barcelona is packed all year now, pretty much. I mean, one of the items in the news recently has just been that they're reducing the number of these cruise terminals, you know, the cruise ships. From I think they're going down from 7 to 5 or something, because it's just in certain areas of Barcelona you're having to queue on the street to get from one area to the next because it's impossible, you know, in the main tourist centres, you know, it's just impossible to move on some of the pavements. It's terrible.
Yeah.
So there is an issue. There's definitely an issue here.
And the thing is, of course, the problem with the cruise line problem is the fact that they come in, but they don't actually...
Yeah.
Because we had this when they were trying to build a cruise terminal for Marbella at one point. And people, the only thing that people buy is going to be, you know, I went to Marbella and all I got was this stupid T-shirt sort of stuff. They're not actually going to spend money in bistros because they got everything on board these days.
You're dead right. I mean, that's one of the issues. The tour at the restaurants and the obviously the hotels hate them. The restaurants and the bars hate them too. Really, they in Barcelona they seem to go along to the Picasso Museum, which isn't far away from the port, and a few little trips like that. You know, block book those guided tours, but they spend very very little money in the restaurants, and they just all go back to the ship to eat.
Spending very, very little money, it's not something that obviously the Spanish political bigwigs have a problem with, because there is yet again, you know, we have a, before sort of Spain shuts down next month, let's get a couple of financial scandals crackling away, because they are, it's one of the day-to-day peculiarities of Spanish political life. What's the latest on that front, please, Tim?
Yeah, well, we've been speaking about this, Charles, for over, you know, a few weeks, but even though I say so myself, I was right. You know, Sanchez has managed to last until, I always said, you know, if he can last until the end of July, because things were pretty tough against him with the scandal accusations and everything of his party. But I said, if he can last till the end of the July, then he's going to be fine until, you know, probably to the end of the year, until the end of his 10th. His latest administration, because the elections aren't due until next year. And what's happened is that it's like a godsend to him, really, because the main opposition party, the PP, they're now embroiled in their own corruption scandal, and it's totally sort of like changed the focus from them, from their, you know, accusations of his party. And the only ones that are actually coming out on top of this are the far-right Vox Party, because they're saying, you know, you can't vote for either of them. You can't trust any of them. You can't trust the government. You can't trust the socialists led by Sanchez, but you can't trust the PP either. And so actually, I think in the polls, Vox are going to be, you know, looked upon now as in a much, much stronger situation. This latest one for the PP Party is the focus is on a guy called Cristobal Montoro, who is their former finance minister. I mean, he was the finance minister on and off between 2004 and 2015 for this party, you know. And you'll love this, Charles, because he allegedly set up another office whilst he was in being a minister,
right,
which was called the Economic Team. It's called the Economic Team. It was a consultancy, a legal firm. Not a legal firm. It was a consultancy firm, yeah, that he set up, and they called it the Economic Team. And this Economic Team, the Equipo Economico, had connections directly to him, to the finance ministry. And, you know, sure enough.
It's brazen, isn't it? It's so brazen sometimes on this stuff, you know?
This has been uncovered by actually the Catalan police, the Mossos, the Squadron. And apparently this consultancy office, the Economic Team, allegedly received illicit payments from mainly gas and energy firms in exchange for favourable policy decisions. No? And they're saying that this consultancy collected over 11 million euros from the energy sector.
Whoa.
And it was like filtered through to Montoro himself and 27 others, including high-ranking treasury officials. Now, obviously, he's denied it. He said he's resigned from the party, even though, you know, he hasn't been a minister for years, but he's resigned as a member of the PP. And he released a statement saying that there's no proof in any of these accusations. But it's given Pedro Sanchez a complete breath of fresh air, because the focus has just turned on the PP. And the current leader of the PP, Alberto Núñez Feijóo, he's gone a little bit quiet in his attacks, because he's been persistently criticising Sanchez over all the corruption probes involving the PSOE, the socialists. And he said what needs to be investigated must be investigated, you know, wherever the corruption is, regardless of the political affiliation. But I think Sanchez must be rubbing his hands in joy. He's going to be able to go off and enjoy his holiday without any more accusations.
Well, it takes the heat off him, because, like I said, he was coming in. There's this whole scandal, you know, it's been bubbling away for months now against him and his wife and all sorts of things there. So before everybody breaks up for their summer holidays, the lucky so-and-sos, I suppose it's a bit of a win for him.
Yeah, he's definitely leaving on a bit of a high as far as the corruption is going. But having said that, the government, the Spanish Parliament met yesterday, and I think it was the last day. Maybe they're meeting again today, but it's the final bills and proposals are going through, you know, and they were defeated. The government were defeated yesterday on a bill which was, it sounds ridiculous. I mean, you know, the headline, you think, why would they vote against it? Spanish MPs reject bill designed to prevent another major blackout.
Yeah.
Remember the blackout we had in April?
Remember, I was here, I was at the radio. Have you ever tried to do a radio station when you're completely off power? You don't know what's going on. Everything is down. I was manning the pumps just in case we come back on, but I was literally sitting in my car outside, because obviously it's working off the car battery, listening to the Spanish national radio to find out, trying to find what on earth was going on.
Yes. Well, you'd think, why would the MPs reject a bill designed to prevent another one of those going on?
Yeah, sure.
But they did, and it all comes down to, just interpolitical bickering, really. There's nothing in the bill that isn't really supposed to be positive and to prevent like something like this happening again. But even the energy companies were trying to push the PP, the opposition, to support the bill, but they refused, saying that they're not going to approve the government's energy policy. We don't approve of this so-called anti-blackout plan,
right,
which is nothing more than an attempt to cover up the government's mistakes and erase its faults. You know, so it's just it's ongoing. And then the other, carry on.
I was going to say, because we've only got about 5 minutes left, but I just want to look at this declassified documents. Now, this is that Sanchez and the socialists want to leave, you know, and enjoy the summer holidays, but they've just thrown the proverbial, you know, the hand grenade of Antioch into this one because it's really, I find this really interesting, because when I moved over here in 1980, in the 80s, the Civil War was 50 years since, you know, the Civil War had ended. And it wasn't talked about. It absolutely was hushed. And there were still the remnants of Franco's regime, Guardia Civil in those hats, etc. And this has got the potential once again to really stir up the pact of forgetting that Spain was instrumental in Spain having its democracy and moving on, quote unquote.
Yes, you're right. I mean, it also, again, it's a focus on this current government led by Sanchez. Now, I mean, he's been in power now since 2018, and he during this time, he's made several moves, and they've all been controversial. To address the whole of Franco's legacy, not just this latest bill about the Secrets Act, but he ordered the exhumation of the Franco's remains in October 2019, and then just a couple of years ago they finally got through the bill that is to ban, it was called another memory, democratic memory law, which bans expressions of support for Franco and it seeks to bring justice to the victims of the Civil War and so forth. And this, as we know, this provokes huge protests from the far right and the right wing. And this latest one is they're seeking to declassify secret files, not just from the Franco era, but anything basically over 45 years old. So classified documents are older than 45 years would be made accessible to the public unless their release is deemed a risk to national security. And to be honest with you, it is bringing it in line with, apparently, I didn't know this, but bringing it in line with European standards, because apparently it's 45 years in most other EU countries now. But Spain has a current official secrets law, which, funnily enough, it was a holdover from Franco's regime, where there's no date for any sensitive information to be released. And so, basically, all state secrets dated before 1980, which will include Franco's post-Franco, the post-Civil War years, and basically his regime, they will be accessible. It's got to go through Parliament. This is only a proposed bill that they've put forward after a cabinet meeting yesterday. But it won't be debated this now until the autumn.
Right.
But yeah, it's another one. It's another one that's going to cause an uproar with the far right.
Definitely. Yeah, and there's going to be so many interesting things, and also so many Spanish businesses and figures, and because it's the Franco. I'm going to stand on my soapbox and shout "No pasarán" in a minute. But the thing is this one, Tim, is the tentacles of Franco's regime were across all Spanish life, including including sort of cinema, theatre, political life, people who, you know, companies that are, you know, big players now, got, you know, significant hotel groups. I mean, all of them. And it could be very embarrassing for some of these corporations or you know, figures from the roads of showbiz, but if they start coming into that, and that's before we get into the whole politics and, you know, Nazis and all that sort of stuff, because it's all going to be in there.
Yeah, and it's a fact that Franco's legacy is still you know, a very divisive issue in Spain, and even more so since the far right Vox Party has come to the fore. Earlier this year, it's now 50 years since Franco died, which was, you know, 1975. Earlier this year, the government set out a number of events to mark the 50 years since his death.
Celebration, as it were, no.
They didn't use the words. They were sort of basically celebrating his death, but they weren't. It wasn't sort of like, it wasn't a commemoration of his life. Put it that way. It was actually termed Spain in Freedom. 50 years of Spain being in freedom. That was what it was. No? And of course, the PP and the especially Vox, they refused to take part in any of these events. You know, there were over 100 events that were taking place. I think some of them still are taking place. And this was all planned by the current government. You know? And it's still what we're saying, it's still divisive. You know, half the country. It's probably a sweeping statement to say half the country, but half the country don't want to, you know, speak badly about that.
Yeah, let sleeping perros lie, as they might say in very bad English. Yeah. We're going to run out of time, Tim, but once again, thanks for coming on. If people want to find out, especially to try and make head or tail of the corruption scandals, because it'll give you something to read over the summer recess. Tim, where can people find you? Where should they go to?
It's SpainEnglish.com, Giles. Always good to speak to you.
Always great to speak to you, Tim. Have a wonderful rest of your week.
Take care.